times I've questioned uncertain circumstances or the things I could not understand. Oh, but many times in trials, the vision bursts my vision and my frustration is so old. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken and I've never had to stand one test alone.
Grandparents, if they'd like to come. We're going to dedicate this beautiful child this morning. if you'll come and stand right down here and just face the front. Now, this young man right here, you can't mistake him for being a girl. This is a man right here. That's right. He knows he is. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 22. Listen to the words the prophet wrote. But Hannah went not up, but she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Now Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, the three bullocks, the ephod of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed as the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. What a special time today, because this is a miracle baby. Does everybody know that? This is a miracle baby. And they've been praying for this baby. That little girl right there is a miracle baby too. They've been praying for this good-looking young man here. Man, he is a good-looking boy, isn't he? You think you'll let me hold him? Dakota. Hey there, buddy. I want you to stand with me. And we're also, as Brother Lane and Sister Amanda has desired, they're dedicating this baby to the Lord. That means he belongs to God. And they're saying to the Lord, Lord, do whatever you want with him as long as he's in your plan and in your perfect will. Can you stretch your hands toward Dakota? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious child. We thank you, Lord, that we can come today and dedicate this miracle baby that you've lent for a while to Lane and Amanda. They're lending him back to you, Lord, saying whatever you want to do with him, Lord, they will embrace, they will trust you. Lord, I'm asking you for protection for Dakota. I pray, Lord, that you would dispatch your angels round about him. Let no harm come nigh his dwelling. Lord, physical protection. I pray for physical protection for Dakota. Lord, I ask you for spiritual and mental protection. All the forces of hell that would come against this child, I pray you'd push them back. Lord, let the Holy Ghost of the living God deal with Dakota as he's a small child. And I pray you draw him to the leading side of Calvary. Save him, O God, your hand. Fill him with a baptism of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, at this time, I place Dakota back in the arms of his mother. And Lord, we're crying out to you. I want you to stretch your hands toward Lane and Amanda, and we're going to pray for divine protection, guidance, wisdom, and for a consecrated life. Heavenly Father, crying out to you for this mom and dad, Lord, that you would keep them in your hand, that you would create a hunger and thirst after righteousness like they've never known before. Lord, help them to place you first and foremost, to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Oh, Lamb of God, I'm asking you that Lane would be that provider and that leader spiritually in this home and lead his families in the paths of Almighty God. That Sister Amanda would be that handmaiden of the Lord and she'd be a woman of prayer. Lord, children, I ask you, oh God, that you would keep this family in your divine protection. And we give you all the praise and the glory. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord and thank him for the family? Can you thank God for the family, which is the unit that God has created? And this church is only as strong as the families that make it up. We thank you, Jesus. Give you all the glory and the praise. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, choir. Hallelujah. Thank you, Elaine and Amanda. Beautiful family. Before I read my text this morning, Brother Connor, is that your dad? So good to have you, Brother Connor. I've heard so many good things about you through the years. We've had a bigger influx this year so far, and we haven't even really hit the summer than we ever had before. We are so thankful for that. And also, we have about 20. Those of you that have kept up with our early child care development, my wife says, do not call it a daycare. That's not a daycare. In training, we teach them not only academics at, you know, the sounds and all those letters, and but we teach them the Word of God, and we teach them godly principles. So it is a daycare. It's easier to say, but we have about 20 on the waiting list, and we're about to take those in August, and we're already seeing an avenue through the daycare to minister to that came to us and said. I was out in the waiting room, and she said, she walked in, and I said, I'm the pastor. I didn't want her to think I was just some random man in the daycare. And she said, oh, yeah, I've been on your Facebook. I've seen everything about you. You can do that nowadays. You can find out a lot about people on the Facebook. And she just began to share her need for prayer right there. Me and my wife were out there, and we had an opportunity to minister to her. So we know that it's going to be a tremendous ministering to people, and also it'll be a good opportunity to possibly plug some of these young children into our Christian school. And finally, our school of ministry is almost full for this next 2021-2022 school year. We are going to be having a evaluation week where they'll come in and look at our school, but it's almost full as it is, so we're excited about that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to dismiss all of our children, age 5 to 11, to Children's Church. All the children, age 5 to 11, Children's Church. Where's Andrew at? Andrew. Is Andrew in here? I don't see him. I'm going to get Andrew tonight to interpret one of these sermons. We're going to start developing Spanish interpreters with our bilingual children. He don't even know it yet. He don't even know he's going to be interpreting tonight. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just passing on what Brother Taylor did to me constantly whenever I was a young preacher. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather in the sanctuary with those of like precious faith. Lord, it's a special time. We are in the closing hours of the dispensation of grace. We see the signs of the times everywhere. Asking you again today to anoint our ears that we can hear what the Spirit would say. I pray that the Word of God would become alive to each and every heart in this sanctuary and those watching by Facebook. Lord, I'm asking you to minister to somebody. Lord, work a miracle in their heart and in their life. Let the living Word of God have its perfect work. We ask you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm taking my text from that first verse of Scripture. He says, wherefore, seeing witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to preach to you on the power of unloading. He says, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, the power of unloading. If you've ever watched a professional horse race, that is not my favorite sport, but I have watched that every once in a while. If you'll watch a professional horse race, you'll see that the horse jockeys are very small men. As a matter of fact, they range from 108 pounds to 118 pounds. Ranges from 4 foot 10 inches tall to 5 foot 6. Maximum weight around 118 pounds. That's a very small man. What is the purpose in a horse race for a horse jockey to weigh so little and to be so small? The purpose is very simple. It is the less weight a horse has on its back, the faster it can run. Come on, somebody. Oh, listen. And the less weight that you and I have on us, it's the faster we can move in the kingdom of God. God has a purpose and a plan for everybody in this house. We are workers in the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen the handwriting on the wall. I've read the last page. We are sitting at the very brink of the rapture of the church. And what you and I must do, we must do quickly. I want to be about the Father's business when he comes back. Will he say, why are well done, thou good and faithful servant? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be about the Father's business. The only way that I can successfully run the race that's set before me is to lay aside me and run the race with patience that's set before me. I'm going to preach to you on the power of unloading. We need to unload some things. Lay some things aside. Listen, in order to do what God's called us to do, you've got to relinquish some things that maybe you really love today. Listen, can you and I just begin to get an image of you and I as children of God, soldiers of the cross, running the race? Can you imagine running the race? We're running with everything that is within us, and we're carrying an overloaded suitcase. I've seen a lot of those folks going through the airport. I mean, they're carrying an overloaded suitcase and they're in trouble because they're about to miss their flight. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people with suitcases. They're carrying things that God never called them to carry. They're taking on things God never intended on them to take on. Or even worse yet, can you imagine somebody staggering down the course with baggage that's so high they cannot even see where they are going? It's happening a whole lot in Christianity today. We are weighted down. We are carrying everything of the world. All of the I'm not saying it's necessarily sinful things. We're just weighted down and overloaded with the cares of this life and all of the entanglements of the things that this world brings our way. Listen to me today. I'm telling you, it is a tactic of the devil himself. He is a great wily adversary, so overloaded that we cannot do what God has called us to do. Can I get a witness in this house this morning? I know you know what I'm preaching because some of you have that overload on you this morning. I call it the great overload. It's the baggage of the world and the entanglements of the cares of this life. Listen, what would God tell us to do right now? HTC, those watching by Facebook, the same thing Paul the Apostle, as he writes in Hebrews, he would tell us to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and get your running shoes on and run the race that's set before us. Some of you want to run. Some of you want to work. Some of you want to be used in the kingdom of God, but you are overloaded. It's time to do an unload this morning. I'm telling you, there's power in the unload when you and allow God to use you in the fullness that he's created and called to use you in. There's great power in unloading. There are typically two kinds of weights we find on our shoulders, and every one of us find these type of weights on us just being in this world. Number one, the weight that comes through life's ordinary circumstances and the weight of other people. things that you cannot control. It's just circumstances of life. And whenever you work with people or you're in a family, you're going to have weights on your shoulders, things that you didn't bring on yourself. And number two, the weight that we pile on ourselves. Listen, there's a lot of things that we do to ourselves. There's a lot of things we take on. There's a lot of things we load up on our shoulders that God never intended for us to load on our shoulders. Listen, every one of us, and listen, some of those things you cannot change. I have learned to try to differentiate between the things I can change and the things that I can't change. The things that I can change, I try to change them. I go through the process. But the things that I can't change, I have been liberated when I said, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to lay it down at this altar. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret or stress. But whenever I give it to you, you know what needs to be done, and you can work the whole thing out in your will and in your timing. Learn to differentiate the things that you can change and the things that you can't change. Listen, if you try to worry and you try to stress about things that you can't change, let me tell you something. You're going to end up with ulcers. You're going to end up with a spirit. What you need to do, I know it sounds easier than just doing it, but I'm telling you, if you can learn to just say, Lord, I give it to you. What do you do when you give it to God? You stop thinking about it. You stop talking about it, and you lay it on the altar and you watch the handiwork of the Almighty God, because God knows how to fix the problem better than you do. I love it when I just lay it on the altar and I pray and I give it to God and I watch that miracle takes place without any of my help. Listen, God don't need my help and he don't need your help when it comes to those things you can't change, but there are some things he does want you and I to change, and I'm going to preach on that today. What are those things that we must unload before? How many of you, with a show of hands, wants to run the race, wants to do something for God in this last hour? Everybody in this house. Number one, we must unload sin. He said, lay aside the weight and the sin. Listen, sin won't just slow you down in the race. Sin will stop you dead in your tracks. Do you hear me? Psalm 66 and 18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. What does that mean? That means if there's willful sin that's unrepented of, you can pray all day long. God's not going to hear your prayer. I tell it to sinners all the time. God loves you, got a plan for your life, but the prayer that he hears from a sinner is a prayer of repentance. When you get that sin under the blood, there's an open heaven over your life and God will hear your cry. But if you're holding on to something God told you to repent over, listen, he's going to give you the old spiritual stiff arm. He ain't going to listen to anything you or I've got to say. Listen, we need to unload sin. How do we unload sin? It ain't a five-step program from the government. It's old-fashioned biblical repentance. Oh, I cry out to God in repentance. And in repentance, it isn't just one verbal transaction. No, repentance is a life change. Repentance not only means to tell God I'm sorry and to be broken and to be contrite, it means to have a change of mind concerning that sin. And then after I really repented, Acts 3:19 says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted. Presence of the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you don't just say I'm sorry and ask God for forgiveness, but you get up and you do whatever you got to do to get rid of that sin. You got to convert. You got to walk a different direction. You give the high school football player his Letterman jacket back. Y'all understood that, didn't you? You ever heard of the old-fashioned barrel burnings? They think it's crazy, but there was a time they had barrels out behind the church, and whenever right before revival could hit the community, it had to hit that church first. Everything had to be atoned under the blood. They used to bring magazines and cigarettes or whatever it may be that was a hindrance between them and God. Did I say something funny that I shouldn't have said? I mean, anything that is a hindrance between you and God. God, they would burn it in that barrel. What we've got to do is we got to say, God, I'll get rid of, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll separate myself. I'll make some changes. I'll delete the program. I'll cancel my subscription. Do you hear me? You know what I'm trying to say today? You got to make up your mind when you repent that you're going to change some things. If you just go through the motions of saying it with your actions, you'll end up getting cold and indifferent. It's time to get serious with God. Do you want to unload some things? Do you want the work of God's Spirit to manifest in your life? It's time to truly repent and unload sin. Old-fashioned repentance doesn't get any better than that. Repentance is the key to revival. I'm not going to prolong this thought too long, but I want you to know that it is the key to the power of the Spirit in operation. If you and I repent, if we get it right between us and God, God will then begin to move in our midst. Listen, it was only whenever the blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat between the two cherubims, which was an atonement for the sins of Israel. It was then and only then did the glory fill the house. It's true with you and I. I must ask the Lord Jesus Christ to apply the blood to my heart. I must have a true heart of repentance in order for God to begin to manifest in my life. It's very key. Be sure the devil is behind not only the sinful things, but the hindrances in our life. So what about those things that are not sinful, but there are hindrances that slow us down? I can tell you the devil's behind a lot of that too. Satan will always settle for second best. He doesn't get his feelings hurt. He'll settle for second best. If he can stop you from serving Christ, the next best thing is to slow you down from serving Christ. If he can get you moving from a run on the race to a walk, he has succeeded. Listen, he don't have to just shut you down. He doesn't even have to get you to fully backslide and go away from God. But if he can get you to slow down, if he can weigh you down enough to make you walk out the race instead of run, he has had a partial victory. Listen, fact, not fiction. Every one of our schedules, we have filled our schedules up with things that really don't matter. Let me tell you what really matters. What really matters is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. Listen, we all have to have a job. You have to supply the needs of your family. If a man don't work, the Bible says, don't let him eat. Amen? We all agree with that. And there's just so many things that we've got to do in this life. There's so many minutes in the day. And there's so many things that every one of us have got to do. But what we've got to do is we've got to look at our schedules, and it's time to start marking some things out, flipping some things around. It's time to prioritize and get it right. Amen. Listen, if he can weigh you down enough, he has done his job. Almost everyone, we're overloaded, busy, frustrated, and weighted down. Don't you think for one moment it isn't a plan of the enemy. Daniel 7:25. And he, speaking of the enemy, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. The devil wants you to get so wore out that you can't come to the house of God. And when you do come to the house of God, you're so tired, you can't even stay awake in the house of God. Let me tell you something. He wants to wear you out. He wants to get you so weighted down with even ministry work, family work, all the things that are on you that you don't even want to do anything. He wants to wear you out. I believe it was John Wesley that said, the greatest hindrance to a revival is a wore out body. Listen, God did create these bodies. We are mortal. We are not supernatural as of yet until I'm translated from the mortal to the immortality. You need some sleep and you need a good diet in your life to feel good. Amen. I know that doesn't seem very spiritual to a lot of people, but it's time to get some sleep. It's time to pull away. You may even need to take your family on a vacation. You're wore out, you're tired, you're weary with ministry and with all the things of this life. Don't you give up on ministry for one moment, but you can eliminate some other things that really don't matter, that are not a priority in your life. He wants to wear you down. He wants to wear you out. Where the power to run. Listen, the power to run this race, the power to endure this race, the power to stay focused in this race, all rest on the power to unload in this race. He said, you got to unload some things. You got to lay aside weights and sins. Not just sins, but weights. Things that are not sins. Listen, in reference to this thought, we must focus on mom and dad and grandparent need to teach their kids and grandkids this. And if you're not walking in this, we need to pray and we need to get some help until we're walking in these two principles. Number one, the principle of discipline. Life is not doing what you want to do all the time. Life is doing what you ought to do. That's discipline. Number two, the principle of priority. Your relationship with God is your most important relationship. Brother Matt, have you forsaken the altar at times? Absolutely. Have I ever put other things before God? Absolutely. That's whenever I got to take a step back. I feel myself drying up on the vine and I got to reprioritize, get back to that place in prayer, get back to the Word of God. Come on. I'm telling you, it's God first, that family. Listen, mom and dad, God's called you over that family. You are the priest of that home, sir. And God's called you to teach them how to pray. Teach them the things of God. Teach them the principles of God. If you expect the church and the Christian school to do all the work, you're going to be very disappointed. And third, the principle of priority of ministry and our calling. Sometimes we get that we lose out or we neglect our relationship with God. Very dangerous. The greatest danger we face in this natural life is that the temporal will cloud out the eternal. We get so cluttered with the temporal things that if we're not careful, it's going to completely cloud out the things that really matter. Listen, and this is not rocket science here, but even myself, I have to look at this thing and say, hey, this is not that important. I need to switch this thing around. I need to make sure that I'm putting God's business before mine. I say it all of the time. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, if you take care, if you put him first and you make him number one in your life, God will make sure you're taken care of, because he is a father to the fatherless. He is a friend to a man who doesn't have a friend. He's a dad to that one whose dad has forsaken them. Listen, he is everything, all and all, but we must place him first. That is why Satan keeps us bogged down, so we don't spend time in the presence of the Lord. You know, these simple terminologies of unloading, there are times I just get in the prayer closet in that secret place in my office and I begin to pray, and those things that are heavy on me, it's like when I get into that prayer closet and I just begin to talk to the Lord, the weight of that thing comes off of me. I'm unloading in prayer. I'm talking to Jesus. I'm telling it to the Lord. I've got some counsel for somebody in this house. You just need to take it to the Lord in prayer. You don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to call your neighbors, everybody in the church house, and tell all your business, but you tell the Lord. You take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm telling you, there's a spirit, call it the power of unloading. When I get in that place, I just give it to Jesus. I give it to the Almighty God. And when I come out of that place, I'm feeling better all overs, more than anywhere else. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, we got to give it to the Lord. The power of unloading. We all know the story. I've preached on it on numerous occasions, dealing with encouraging yourself in the Lord. But when David came back to Ziklag, the men that was with him, their wives and children were kidnapped. The city was burning with fire. Think about it. His own comrade said, let's kill him. Let's stone David. Everybody needs a scapegoat. Everybody needs somebody to blame whenever something goes bad. Isn't COVID-19 that I'm telling you somebody's going to get the blame for it? Your relative might have got COVID-19 over at the Walmart, but I'm going to tell you that place of employment's going to get the blame for COVID-19. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to be the scapegoat. David was the scapegoat. They wanted to kill him. What did he do? He was taking on all of the pressure of what had just taken place. But what did David do? Instead of allowing it to all pile up on him and for him to get loaded down, here's what he said. He said, bring me the ephod. Bring me the ephod. He put that shawl over him. They probably thought he was borderline crazy at that point, but he began to talk to the Lord. These men are crying so much they had no more power to weep because their families are gone. But David is under the shawl. He's got the ephod, and he's crying out to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to shall recover all? But I'm going to tell you, not only did he get direction in prayer, but there was something supernatural that took place. There was a spiritual unloading. He took his burdens to the Lord, and there's just something. Whenever you go to God and you give it to God at an old-fashioned altar, there's, I'm telling you, it's like a field pack being taken off of your back, and then you can do the will of God. You can run the race that's set before you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to build an altar one more time. It's time, instead of letting the world load you down and to get pressured by the things of this life, get to that altar and talk to the Lord, to Jesus. Oh, listen, there's just something about telling it to Jesus. David froze everything in his life just for a prayer meeting. Oh, what if we did that? What if we froze everything? Whenever troubles are going, whenever you're having marital problems, this might make your husband mad. But if you say, wait just 1 minute, we're not going to finish this intense moments of fellowship. We're going to pray. Let's pray. Oh, what would happen if we, instead of arguing, fussing, and fighting, we just would pray? Let's talk to the Lord. I can tell you, if you'd tell it to the Lord and you wouldn't say out loud how you wanted lightning to come down and destroy your spouse from the Lord, I believe if you prayed, everything would work out all in God's timing. There's just something about prayer. In a time of desperate crisis, David was distressed and hurt, but he did not load up with the sorrows, anger, and despair. No, he unloaded. The song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I even copied the lyrics. Listen to this. If the world from you withhold all of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along on meager fare, just bird, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, somebody, every once in a while, we just got to talk. We got to get it off our chest. I promise you, on the authority of God's holy word, it'll work a whole lot better if you take it to the Lord than when you take it to a brother or sister, because he knows how to take it off of you. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your weary souls. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. What do you do when life shows up and God doesn't? You focus on God anyways and unload the situation in his care. I'm preaching to a congregation this morning that loves God, and your financial giving. And I believe for the most part in your prayers and in your personal intimate relationship with God. But I can tell you, I'm also preaching to a people that are taking too many things upon them, and you're so weighted down, your mind's cluttered, your mind's going here and there and everywhere. You know, you can't even harness that old mind because you have so many things weighted you down. What you need to do this morning at this old-fashioned altar is do a spiritual unload. Leave it here at the altar. Let God work something in the spirit that will help you. As Peter the apostle began to mature in the Lord, listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:7. He says, casting all your you. You know, let me translate that. Do a spiritual unload. Cast all your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you. Whenever somebody doesn't want to hear what you're going through, he wants to hear it. When someone doesn't seem to care and understand, he cares and understands. Cast all your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you. Listen, there are some burdens that we must bear. We are to unload our burdens, but we are called in Galatians 6:2 to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want to stop and deal with this for a moment. God didn't call you to cast all your burdens on somebody else. He called you to cast your burdens on the Lord and then take on somebody else's burdens. Brother Matt, isn't this opposite of what you're preaching? Absolutely not. Well, you unload the things that don't matter. But I can tell you this, whenever you start getting concerned with other people, it takes place, God will give you a supernatural grace, a strength to deal with what you're going through. And we are to bear one another's burdens. Whenever somebody is struggling financially, you have finances, give to them. Whenever they are in need of counsel and love and a little extra attention, give it to them. Whenever somebody is going through a death in the family, and this church rose to the occasion like never before at Tony Carmona's passing, I ain't never seen a church like this, an unbelievable church that rallied together in financial and all the love and care and concern. You bore the burdens of that mama and those children and that wife. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But what if I am so weighted down with my burdens and his burdens and her burdens that's about to make me crazy? I'm glad you asked that. When God was training me and developing me, and that was this, I do bear people's burdens. I do care. But there is a time where I hear all the problems, and that's what I'm called to do, and I love that. I love helping people, but I cannot change circumstances in people's lives. Neither can you. So what have I learned to do? I bear those burdens. I pray with them. I listen to them. But then, whenever I leave their presence, after I pray with them, I relinquish it and give it to God. What does that mean? That means I don't worry about it all day long. What would happen if I worried about that individual's problems all day long and wonder what's going to take place? I can tell you something, I'd have myself a nervous breakdown. That's what would happen. But what have I learned to do? I've learned to bear their burdens, help them, but then undo both. You can bear their burdens and then give it to God. Maybe they can't, so you take their burdens from them, help them, and then give it to God. God don't need you to bear them with him. He can bear them all by himself. We've got to do a spiritual unload. In order to run the race effectively, there are things in life you must choose to forget if you're going to do a spiritual unload. Some people have too good of a memory. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I wish I had a photographic memory. I don't have a photo. I have a decent memory, but there are people who have a photographic memory. You know what the problem is? With people who don't forget anything, they remember things that's happened to them 20 years ago like it was yesterday. The deed's done, and it constantly bothers them. And how do you know that they have a photographic memory? Because they're bitter, and they have unforgiveness in their heart, and they're mean-spirited, and they're critical. Listen to me. What you've got to do, it's easier to deal with somebody who has a poor memory than someone who has a poor forgetter. That's East Texas vernacular. A poor forgetter. Don't tell the kids. Oh, listen, what we've got to learn to do is forget some things, relinquish some things, give it to the Lord. I know people who just cannot let it go. I don't care if it happened last month or 10 or 20 years ago. Let it go. Listen, whenever you, in your heart, it's like you drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It ain't going to happen. The only person that's going to die is you. Forget people who refuse to forget. They stand out because they've allowed that bitterness to get a hold of them. The problem, Their forgetter is broken that needs to be fixed. Somebody just needs to forget some things, to unload some things. They are so thoroughly enmeshed and entangled in hurt that they have never allowed God to heal the wound. It's time to unload, church. It's time to get it out. They are so consumed with those thoughts. And you say, well, Brother Matt, you just don't know. I have asked the Lord over and over this weight that is on me, and he won't do it. He's not going to do it. Because God said, you have to lay aside the weight and the sin. God didn't give it to you, and he's not going to take it from you. If you picked it up, you've got to lay it down. He didn't say that he was going to lay aside the weight and the sin. He said, you and I must lay aside the weight and the sin. It's you that's got to unload that thing. Listen, I said all the time, when the free will of man meets the grace of God, it is supernatural. Remember, grace is defined in the Greek as God's ability to do what you cannot do in yourself. So whenever you make the choice, I am going to do right. I'm going to walk this direction. I'm going to will take place what you cannot do in yourself. God will do through you. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's not going to take it from you because he didn't give it to you. He said, you lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Unloading is our job, not God's. It's not that we can't. It's simply that we won't. Some of us tend to become consumed with the work of God while neglecting our relationship with God. I just don't have time. I'm about to close. Stay with me. We are so loaded that we neglect our relationship for the work of God. And the most popular excuse is this: I just don't have time. Have you ever said that? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Listen, I want to give you a simple statistic. All of us, there are in 24 hours, there's 1,440 minutes in each day. Every one of us have 1,440 minutes, each one of us. And we spend that 1,440 minutes exactly how we want to spend that 1,440 minutes. I just don't have time. No, you have not placed God in the first position. We have not prioritized him in a place. Listen, it's time to unload some things, ladies and gentlemen. I'm preaching a simple message this morning, and I believe that this church is on the brink of doing a mighty outreach in this area. We're going to reach a country for Christ. I believe God's going to work through us in a mighty way. I believe the lost are going to come in here. I believe God's going to save your family. I still believe in divine healing. Amen. I believe God's going to heal the sick. We're going to us. Whenever we're running this race and we have an overpackaged, overloaded suitcase, our material we're carrying that we can't even see the direction we're going in, you can forget it. You're going to fall by the wayside and you're really not going to be used the way God wants to use you. It's time to do an unload. It's time to relinquish some things, to let some things go. And at this altar today, I cry, Lord, deal with me about things that I need to unload. Are you overloaded with unrealistic expectations of others? Unload them before you become a slave to the kingdom of they-dom. They/dom. D-O-M. Trying to get creative here. We become a slave to what other people think. We're loaded down. You know, listen, before I even got saved, that's one area I never had a problem with. When I was a sinner, and I led other sinners to hell. What we need to do is we need to stop worrying about what other people think. I've never been a follower. I know I look to God whenever you're constantly wanting to appeal and to please others. You ever been around friends that they treat you real nice whenever they're around you and them, but when they get around others, they treat you different? You ever been around people like that? I ought to preach a 30-minute message right there on that message. They're concerned about what others think of them. They prioritize who's who. Listen, what we need to do, stop worrying about people. I don't want to be motivated by people. I want to be motivated by the cross of Calvary. I want to be so consumed with pleasing God. I don't want to be consumed with other people. The bottom line, listen, is the government of all this is on His shoulders. If we will choose to unload and learn the power of unloading, accept the burden of the Lord, and we can share the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will work mightily in our life. Can someone come to the piano? I know it's hard to unload a problem and look to God when you believe you have no power to change it. Let God have it anyway. Unload it. Give it to God. This is the only way you can discover the power of unloading. We all know the story in Luke chapter 10 of Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who sat at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says she just worshiped the Lord and she just loved Jesus. She just loved being in the presence of the Lord. There's a lot of folks in the church that way. Then there was the Martha. Martha was a worker. We got a lot of people in the church that are Marthas. Actually, Sister Martha, she is such a hard worker. Her name fits her well. She is a hard worker. Martha was so busy getting ready for the work of the Lord that when she watched Mary sitting right there, worshiping, not doing nothing, there's a time for worship, she thought, and there's a time to do the work of the Lord. Martha was complaining. This story reveals two very important principles at work in the kingdom of God. Obviously, Mary was a worshiper. Martha was a worker. There was a complaint by the worker that the worshiper was not doing what she should have done when she should have done it. But you have to understand, when Jesus heard Martha, He said, "Martha, Martha, you're encumbered about with many things, but Mary has chosen the most important thing." The Lord Jesus Christ is always work. But when you get both of these workers together, one a worker and one a worshiper, operating in unity in the same house, there is a power. Can we stand? There must be a balance. Martha was so encumbered by her focus on ministry in the natural, she was blind to her priority in the spiritual. Here it is. Mary was so heavenly minded that at times she bordered on being neglectful. If Martha hadn't been there, let me tell you what Mary would have done. If Martha hadn't been there cooking and cleaning and taking care of that house, Mary would have talked Jesus' ears off all night and He would have went to bed hungry. How do I know that? I'm just guessing. I've been around some wonderful... Jesus is always going to choose that. But there's got to be a balance in the kingdom of God, in your personal life. You can't be so heavily minded that you're lazy and you don't do the housework. Amen? You don't help out in the kitchen at the church house. Can I get a witness? You don't help it with taking up the chairs and the table, whatever it is, whatever the need is. Jesus was forced to choose between the two. And what did He do? He chose worship. He will always put foot washers above food preparers. But He prepares both, or He prefers both. Somewhere in the middle of Martha's kitchen and Mary's seat of devotion is a place of divine power. Do you hear me? Somewhere in between is a place of divine middle ground. I don't know what it is this morning that you need to unload so that you can start running swiftly. That's between you and God. Maybe you've taken on a second job so you can have something better in the natural. That's between you and God. But there's never been a multimillionaire or a billionaire who died who said, man, I wish I'd have made more money. Never. Never. On their deathbed, it's always this. I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. Every time. Steve Jobs, who created Apple. I appreciate that. I enjoy my Apple phone. But he said this. His net worth in the billions and billions. On his deathbed, he said these words. He's dying of cancer. And he said, if I could go back, I'd have never created Apple phone. I'd never done it. You talking about brilliant man, successful, leaving his family set for life. He says, if I could go back, I'd have never done it. And then he said these words, if I could go back, I'd just spend more time with my kids. That's coming from a man who does not know God. That's coming from a man who had everything, all the wealth and all the things this world could offer. I don't want this message to put guilt on anyone whose family's already raised up, because God is so good to us. God can mend the broken relationships, and He can turn around situations that are bad. But wherever you are right now, if you're loaded down, and many of us are, we're so loaded down. We have dreams and aspirations of doing more for God and doing our kids and some lost soul, the church that's going to last forever. But we're just too busy. Every one of us have 1,440 minutes in each day. If you had $1,440 in your wallet and you went to the mall, everybody would spend it on something different by a free choice. Every one of us have a free choice how we spend our time. It's time to do some unloading. It's time to get some things off of us. I haven't had a garage sale in a long time, but every time we have a garage sale and my wife sends me up in the attic, oh, it's a wonderful time, Brother Brian. I love going up in that attic. Bring those boxes down. It's splendid. Never realized how many things we accumulated. How did we come up with it? I remember, I recognize, and I don't like going up in the attic, and I'm not saying I'm crazy about hanging signs and working a garage sale. I don't like that, but I sure love to unload. I don't like clutter. Those of you who know me, I do not like clutter. All the kids know it. Now, there may be some dust right here. My wife sees the dust. I don't see the dust. I just see the clutter, the big things. Takes the ones who see the dust and the ones who see the clutter. But I love to unload because I feel like I'm free. When I study in my office, I try to make sure my desk is clean. I know that sounds crazy. I don't want any clutter on my desk. I don't want anything distracting me. We get distracted because we're so weighted down. What are you going to unload this morning? What are you going to do away with? What are you going to decide that you don't need anymore that's weighing you down on the race? We need to do it at this altar. Can we come stand across the front of this building? God's preparing this church for a harvest of souls. Harvest Time Church, what a name. What a name. This church is 22 years old. When Pastor Taylor... Sister Taylor started this church 22 years ago. They were in the metal building over here, and they were trying to come up with a name. And Leslie up there, where's Leslie? I saw him up there in the sound booth. He said, what about Harvest Time Church? Brother Taylor said, that's it right there. I'm going to see a harvest of souls. We're going to see a harvest in your family. He wants to do a great work. That's why we named our missions project World Harvest Missions, because God's going to bring in a harvest. But in order to do what God's called us to do, we're going to have to unload some things. Some of us really need to hire a caretaker to take care of all our stuff. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I mean, we don't even use 95% of it. Can I get a witness? We don't use 95% of it, but it's there just in case we need it. Praise the Lord. We don't need 95% of the stuff we have. You know it, and I know it. What are you going to unload so that you're a little bit more effective? Do more for God. You'll never be more fulfilled in this life until you're doing something for God in this last hour. Listen, that's why we're going to start. We're doing a missions work in the foreign fields, and we're doing something in the community. You want to work? You want to be fulfilled in this last hour? Harvest Time Church is the place to be, because we can put you to work. You're going to see little boys and little girls get saved. You're going to see moms and dads get saved. You're going to see grandparents get saved. But if you're going to be used, if you're going to be used the way God wants you to be used, you're going to have to unload some things. What is it God's talking to you about today? Can you lift your hands? Let's ask Him to talk to us. Father, in the name that is above every name, Lord, I preach what You give me to preach today. We're weighted down with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Oh God, I'm asking You to forgive us for being so consumed with things, carrying unforgiveness, carrying thoughts. Lord, we're weighted down with opinions of others. Lord, I'm asking You to all that stuff. Maybe somebody in this house has willful sin in their hearts. Cleanse them by the precious blood of Calvary's Lamb. Oh, God. Lord, through true repentance, we want to unload. There's power in unloading. You said, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Whatever it is that God's talking to you about this morning, I want you to confess it. I want you to tell the Lord, you've got my number. I hear Your voice, Lord. Whatever He's talking to you about, tell the Lord, you've put Your finger on it this morning, and starting today, I'm going to do whatever it takes to unload that thing that's hindering me. Material possession, it may be dreams or aspirations that's weighted you down. God says, no, son, no, daughter, I want you to run the race. I want you to help somebody that's hurting, lost, and dying. Undone without God and His love. Oh, and in order to do it, you gotta let some things go. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let Him talk to you today. He's preparing us, church. He's preparing us. Hallelujah. Reach over. Gonna pray. God will give them strength, the ability to let go of whatever they need to let go of. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help my brother, my sister. Lord, we've held on too long. It's caused us to be weighted, to be heavy, to struggle. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. Thank You, Jesus.
Leave it there.
Thank You, Lord. Oh, yes.
You can take Your leave it there.
Lord, we need You.
If You'll trust and never die, He will surely bring You out. You can take Your burden to the Lord. Just leave it there. Oh, leave it there.
Sing
you
it to the
can
Lord.
Take Your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. If You'll trust and never doubt, He will surely lead you out. You can take Your burden.
This morning at the altar,
you
give it to
take
God.
Your burden.
Hallelujah.
To the Lord.